Good morning. I don't know about you, but this has been one hard week. So I'm glad to be here with you guys and worship together. Have you ever just maybe gone out in your deck and sat down in a chair, looked up to the heavens and ask yourself the question, why do I exist? Why am I here anyhow? Why are we alive on planet Earth today, living in the inland northwest here in Idaho? Is it just because we were born here? Just because we moved here maybe or something? I mean, why are we here? Why are you here, Grace? Or Tom? I mean, yeah, why are we here this morning? What is the primary purpose for being here, for being created? What's the Lord's will for our life? Well, there is a verse that kind of sums this up we can turn to this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes. And let's read it again. A familiar text there. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There it is. Fear God and keep his commandments, huh? Now, just for clarification, the Hebrew meaning for the word fear means not afraid, but to revere. Other translations, other versions translate it to respect God and keep his commandments, to honor God, to worship God, which is what revere means. Or as the Good News translation puts it, says this, after all this, there is only one thing to say, have reverence for God and obey his commands because this is all that we were created for. I thought I said it pretty clear. Now, there is a New Testament equivalent to this text, and let's read it. Turn to another familiar text in Revelation. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of water. The primary purpose for respecting and obeying God is to, like Curtis said in his prayer, to glorify him. That's what it is. This is why we are here. Just like we read in Isaiah, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. So we are to live our lives to glorify him. But to what end? Jesus spoke to that in Matthew. Said this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The primary purpose, then, for glorifying God with our lives is so that others will come to glorify him as well. So let me ask this morning, is this your desire? I mean, is it your heart's desire to glorify God with your life? This is really our purpose for being. And again, just how are we to do that? How are we to bring glory to God? Well, Jesus repeated the answer here in the Gospel of John. He said it this way. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So if you want to bring glory to God and fulfill the purpose of your life, if you want to experience true joy and purpose, your purpose for being, bear fruit. or bring a lost soul to the Savior. I mean, Paul said in the scripture reading, we're laborers together with God. Jesus said, let your light so shine that others may see and glorify God. So God desires your life then to be an extension of his own, that through you others can find life and the true meaning of their existence as well. That's what he wants to do through us. So speaking of this, of joining God in reaching lost souls, consider this scriptural parallel. Quite interesting. This was said to Mary. You remember. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Right? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. Be called the Son of God. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now by extension, notice what we read of Christ's followers. It says this, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Interesting. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So similar as it was with Mary, the Holy Ghost wants to come up on you and I that we might bear fruit as well. And what does God call the fruit that we bear? John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and or daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. So through your spirit-empowered witness, God desires to be reborn in the hearts of lost souls, and that which will be born through you, your fruit, will be called sons and daughters of God. Pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool parallel. So when all is said and done, how do we glorify God? We glorify him when we join him in the search for souls to bring to the Savior. That's the primary purpose for our existence. That's how we glorify him. In other words, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and even so, he's asking us to join him in that work of redemption, to be a channel through which he can reach a lost soul for his kingdom. The question is, will I consent to intentionally be that channel? You know, it's only when we do that we'll experience the joy that God has for us and the purpose for our being. Only when we become a channel to bring a lost soul to the Savior, then we will know and experience the joy that he has for us and the true purpose for our existence. Consequently, God says, I know why you are here. And speaking of the joy of being a part of heaven's activity to save souls, the purpose for being here, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Verse 26 reads, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. When the Spirit said unto Philip, who said to Philip? The Spirit did. Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered to Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. I can imagine after that miracle, he went away rejoicing. But not only him, Philip was rejoicing as well, wasn't he? To have that privilege to be a channel through which God saved this Ethiopian. You think there was rejoicing that day all around? They experienced a true joy. Through the Holy Spirit, Philip was just the right place at just the right time to bear witness to the word of Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, there was fruit. The fruit of a new birth. Do things like this still happen today, do you think? Does God still arrange meetings and divine appointments like that? Let me tell you a story. I was making my way down 4th Street with, at the time, a Lifestyle Home Seminar questionnaire. And as I knocked on the doors, I would say, hi, I'm Steve. I'm in the area today with Lifestyle Home Seminars. We have a short questionnaire, and the folks who take just a minute to participate, we have a free gift. Would you be kind enough to answer a few short questions? Well, after a lot of no's and a lot of nobody home, I decided, okay, I'm heading back. I'll fish in another pond for the rest of the day. And as I crossed the street to head back, I believe the Holy Spirit said to me, why not canvass the other side of the street on your way back to the truck? So reluctantly, I agreed. I began to knock on doors. I eventually came to a big white church. I said to myself, I'm not going to knock on that door. So I passed the big white church. And next to the big white church, I found a big white house that looked an awful lot like the big white church. Now, we know who lives there, correct? I said, I'm